Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening.
Much grace and peace be to you from our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He whom we confess in the invocation at the beginning of every service, and He whom we are to worship every day of our lives. Amen. Thank you once again, Pastor Green, for the honor of sharing the pulpit that God has entrusted to you. And thank you, congregation at Bethlehem and visitors, for coming to learn the great word of the Lord. We have many wonderful texts before us today in order to do what we intend to do, and that is to go on a detective-like journey, a journey that will lead us to finding the Trinity all over the Bible. Maybe the best way to start is to define the word Trinity. As you might know, it is made up of two Latin words, tri, three, and uno, one. Three in one, one in three. And the catechism puts it like this. Dr. Luther's small catechism with questions and answers asks this, who is the one true God? And it answers, the one true God is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons in one divine being or essence. And it is that God who created the world and then went on a search for man. Now, I know most people think that the Bible primarily is about man's search for God. That is not true. That is secondary at best. God is the one who searches for man. He says, I was found of those who did not search for me. And Jesus said to his disciples, I chose you. You did not choose me. God begins the action. God completes the action. Well, let's go right into the Bible and trail from Genesis right down to Revelation, this great revelation of our triune God, whom we will say we must believe in, or we will not be saved. You will have that in the last sentence of the Athanasian Creed, which we will confess later in the service. We use it once a year on Trinity Sunday, which we are celebrating today. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was desolate and without form, and God's Spirit moved, hovered over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, people are shocked to know that in the Hebrew, it really says in the beginning, God's, He created. Boy, Moses must not have known Hebrew very well when he wrote that, because he has a plural noun with a singular verb. It doesn't say in the beginning, God's, they created. It says, He created. That is a reference already to the Trinity. For God is the creator, as we say in the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker, creator of heaven and earth. And then it says, and the Spirit hovered like a bird over the waters, watching. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And that was Jesus speaking. For you see, Jesus is the Word of God, the mouth of God, and the Holy Spirit is the eyes of God. It was the Holy Spirit who looked and said and saw. It was very good. But Jesus had called it into action. I explain it like this. to my students in Africa. I say that with the Father, He is the lead architect. Before you can build the world, you have to have a plan. What will a tree look like? What will the sun look like? What will water be composed of? He's the lead architect. But an architect does not go out and build the building. He gets himself a general contractor. And that is the work of Jesus. For as it says in John chapter 1, nothing that was made without him, without Jesus. And then, before you can move into a building, like this building here, you have to have a building inspector come out and see that the roof is solid and won't fall in on people. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He is God's building inspector, seeing that everything was done just right. Of course, just going right on in Genesis, you remember when God created man? He said, let us create him in our image. That's conversation within the Trinity, as Luther says. And then going to the Tower of Babel, when they were building that tall building, that Trump Tower, if you will. Yes. What was that? God said, let us go down and see that, because it was so little in the eyes of God. Once again, conversation within the Trinity. And then we go to a fascinating section of passages as you're following along on your outline there, Exodus 23 and Exodus 33. And it's a long story in a way. Let me try to make it short. The children of Israel are at Mount Sinai. Moses has received the Ten Commandments in chapter 20, and God then continues to talk to him for 40 days up on the mountain. And God says to him, I am going to send my messenger with you. You notice I have it capitalized because I know the context that is coming. This messenger is none other than Jesus Christ, who leads them as a cloud of pillar by night and a cloud of darkness by day. The context becomes clear. And so it is that Moses goes down off the mountain, but before he ever gets down with the Ten Commandments, the people are already breaking the first commandment. They have built a golden calf. God is furious. And he says to Moses in chapter 33, he says, all right, I'm sending my messenger with you. But I made it small on your outline, did I not? Because we know who that is. Moses is not happy. God said, I will not go with you. Because if I went with you and you are a rebellious people, you're Lutherans, he says, I would wipe you out. So he said, I will send my messenger. Moses gets right into God's face. And he says, don't make us go if you're not going with us. And God listens to Moses the prophet. And he then says, as you see there in red, my presences, plural, will go with you. Put your mind at rest. Moses catches the plural. He says, if your presences do not go with us, don't make us leave this place. And God says to Moses, I will do what you say. Who are these presences? God has promised from the burning bush on to Moses that he will go. And we know the one in the burning bush was Jesus himself, the great I am. The one who said before Abraham was, I am. You heard it in John 8 this morning. And so it was that there was going to be more than the presence of Jesus. There would also be the Holy Spirit leading the people through the wilderness. How do I know that? I know it from John 1. Remember when the Holy Spirit came down and the whole Trinity was there at the baptism, was it not? The Father calls out of heaven. Jesus, the Son, stands in the Jordan. And the Holy Spirit comes as a dove and lands on the head of Jesus. And what does it say in John 1? And stayed on him, led him out into the wilderness to be tempted. And the Holy Spirit never left Jesus. He was there at Calvary to convert the heart of the thief on the cross. These are the presences that were going with the people on their sojourn so that they could go into Cana and possess the land that God had promised. So the whole Trinity is involved. And number six, let's move to the next book. That's the great Aaronic blessing. You hear it at the end of the service often when we use the Old Testament benediction. Here's what it says. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his son, Aaron the high priest, and his sons the regular Levite priest, this is how you should bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be merciful to you. The Lord look kindly at you and give you peace. The Lord, the Father, the Lord, the Son, the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And then we move to the other side of your outline, to Deuteronomy 6:4, which was the creed of the Old Testament believers. You and I have the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed. They had the first creed. It was called the Shema. That's the Hebrew word for hear or listen. And so God says through Moses to the Israelites, listen, Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Three in one and one in three. The Lord the Father, our God the Son, the Lord the Holy Spirit. They are three and yet they are one. And Deuteronomy 33 is really interesting. Joel Steinke in his book, The Jewish Trinity, with the subtitle, When Rabbis Believed in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rabbis like Moses, rabbis like Isaiah, and even a rabbi by the name of Jesus, it was this that was said by Moses near the time of his death. And so it's recorded in Deuteronomy 33. This is the blessing Moses, the man of God, gave the Israelites before he died. He, Moses, said, the Lord appeared at Sinai and arose for his people at Mount Seir. He showed himself at the mountains of Paran, coming with 10,000 holy ones, his angels, his right hand causing havoc for them. Here is a triple appearance of God. The Father at Mount Sinai, the Son at Mount Seir, and the Holy Spirit at Paran. All mountains, three different manifestations or showings of God at one time. The threesome of God is shown. We go on to Psalm 45. We would not know much how to handle that, except for the writer of the book of Hebrews, who identifies that the first one spoken of here under the title God is Jesus himself. Look at your sheet, please. Your throne, God, that is your throne, Jesus, is forever and ever. You rule as a king, King of kings and Lord of lords, with a righteous scepter, no sin. You love righteousness, hate wickedness. That's why it says in 1 Peter 2:22, in him there was no sin. And that is why God, your God, who was the God of Jesus, his Father in heaven, that's why he has anointed you with the oil of joy, a code name for the Holy Spirit who landed on Jesus at his baptism and didn't baptize him with water. That's what John did. The Holy Spirit baptized him with oil because he was the oil of joy. And to be anointed, you had to have oil poured over your head like King Saul and King David, as it was done by Samuel the prophet. And so Jesus is anointed with oil, and he is the Son of God sent to be the Savior of the world to wash away all of your sins. Isaiah 6, 1 to 3 is fascinating. This morning in Bible class, and you do not want to miss it, we're going to do the prophet Ezekiel, and we will look at his call chapters. But here's Isaiah's call chapter, Isaiah chapter 6. And what does it say? In the year when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a high and lofty throne, and his robe filled the temple. Above him stood seraphim angels. Each had six wings, two to cover his face, two to cover his feet, two to fly with. They kept calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies." Now, we use those words in song this morning. And we have always said that there are three holies because there are three persons to the Trinity. Of course, those who like to defy the Bible noted that there was a manuscript that only had two holies, and they said, "See, that proves that it isn't about the Trinity." And then the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in 1947, and of all the books that were complete, it was the book of Isaiah, and there it stood in the sixth chapter, "Holy, holy, holy." The oldest manuscript that we would have has the three holies. The Trinity was present in the Old Testament. And then the one that got Jesus into great trouble, from Isaiah chapter 61, quoted in Luke 4, when Jesus was at the synagogue in his own hometown of Nazareth, where a prophet is never accepted in his own country, Jesus was given the scroll of Isaiah to read it as the scriptural reading for the day. And there he read these words, "The Spirit, third person of the Trinity, of the Lord God, first person of the Trinity, is on me, second person of the Trinity, because the Lord anointed me to tell the good news to those who are suffering." They understood what Jesus was saying. He was saying he was part of the Trinity. He was one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And you remember Jesus saying, "I and my Father are one." And they hauled him out of the synagogue and out of the city. And they were going to throw him to his death over the cliff. But it wasn't yet his time to die. And he miraculously disappeared. And the crowd could not find him in order to destroy him. And then, of course, the passage you all know. And I think this is where most Christians are. And I think you're hearing some things today that you may never have heard before. Maybe you'll never hear them again. But usually Christians think, oh, the Trinity, the first time they ever knew anything about that was when Jesus said, "Go, make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." But they must have been familiar with that from the Old Testament. You know, those disciples that followed Jesus, they were always in rebellion, right? Jesus would say something, they would question it. From the time that they were little, they had the Shema, "The Lord is one." And yet, when Jesus says, "Father, Son, Holy Spirit," you don't hear any protest. They are aware of this. They knew that God manifested himself through three persons, yet he was one God. And then Revelation, to climax it, John in chapter 1, on his tour of heaven, writes these words, John, to the seven churches, "Grace and peace to you." From who? From the one who is, and the one who was, and the one who will be. That's the Father. And the second line, from the seven spirits who are before the throne. No, that doesn't mean there are seven Holy Ghosts. He's called the seven spirits because the number seven is a symbolic number for perfection or holiness. So when he's the seven spirits, he's the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus, he is the faithful witness, the first of the dead to live again, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Notice the Father is given a three-part. Jesus is given in a three-part. The Holy Spirit's given in a one-part. Three in one, one in three. Oh, it's probably just coincidental. Don't pay any attention to it. Probably not important. God knows how to communicate. Now, in a few moments, we are going to have the privilege of confessing our faith in the words of the Athanasian Creed. That creed has been thrown out of the Roman Catholic Church in recent years, though the church for 2,000 years has used the three creeds, Apostles, Nicene, Athanasian. The Roman Catholic Church has gotten rid of it because they say it is too harsh. Oh, too much truth, is it? Well, we're going to confess it, and I want to close this morning by reminding you of the importance of holding to the true God and not to Allah or Buddha or some other deity that is thrown into society today, because only the triune God is the true God. And this is what God says in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. I'll not give it to Mary in prayer. I won't give it to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I won't give it to the great ones of the Old Testament, Moses and David. I will not give it to the apostles, Peter, James, and John. The glory belongs to me, the triune God, the great three in one, and one in three. May you hold to that confession of your God. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.